Hey there, welcome back to She Speaks Life. I'm so glad you chose to listen to today's episode. Did you know you can watch this live along with others over on my YouTube channel? It is Jamie Elizabeth, She Speaks Life. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you can get the newly released shows as they come out. And along with that, you can hop on jamieelizabeth.com if you haven't already, subscribe to my newsletter, and I will give you a free gift called God's ID, My ID, which it talks about all about God's characteristics and how they apply to your life today. Okay, I am thrilled to give you Michelle Manis today. Friends, this conversation is so rich with God's way of turning something so tragic to using it for a purpose to glorify Him and to help others. Michelle has a ministry called Reaching Souls International. Her and the team have reached 100 million salvation decisions and planted over 50,000 churches in foreign countries. Reaching Souls International has partnered with over 2,000 missionaries in 13 countries across 3 continents. Now, in this episode, Michelle takes us through her painful story of losing her son, but then she shows us how God opened these doors to minister to women across the globe and how there is a purpose in the pain of suffering, and that's not all for nothing. This story, my friend, reminds us that this life is so brief and that ultimately our purpose here is to bring others to know Jesus as their Savior so we can all be together forever in His kingdom. Michelle sits in a special place in my heart as she so beautifully displays Christ's love, and I know you'll enjoy this amazing conversation. So here's my guest, Michelle Manis. Well, hi, Michelle. Welcome to She Speaks Life. I am so glad you are here with us today.
Hi, Jamie. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I love your ministry that you have, this outreach called Reaching Souls International, and what it's all about. I can't wait to dive deeper into that. But before we do, I always love to ask my guests, what is their favorite scripture verse and why?
Okay, well, I'm going to read it so I don't get it all jumbled up.
Most guests do, yeah.
and as I tell my story, it will become more clear as to why this has sort of become my favorite scripture. But awesome. It's in 2 Corinthians. Most people are very familiar with this scripture. It's chapter 4, and I start with verse 6, and it's, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." And I just, wow, that just sums up our life. You know, we are pressed and perplexed and all of those things. And the truth of it is that the treasure is in us. And the more broken we become on the outside, the more the beauty of the treasure inside can come through. And I love that. I love that God uses our brokenness, our weakness, in the very thing that that was meant to crush us, to make us beautiful and more powerful to do what He's called us to do.
Yeah, so great. I know I heard something recently. It's like, not by might, but the Holy Spirit, we can do those things that God has called us to. And I just love how that goes along with this verse that you just shared. And I love how it associates to your ministry, your outreach called Reaching Souls International. And I just wanted to share a little bit of facts on this. I mean, it's just incredible. Your team, your ministry, it's reached 100 million salvation decisions and over 50,000 churches have been planted in foreign countries, 13 countries, and across 3 continents. You've partnered with 2,000 missionaries, and you're currently working across Africa, Asia, and Latin America. I mean, this is huge. That is a lot of souls saved for Christ. And I'm just reading this and just going, hallelujah, amen. Lord, and amen. So, yes,
right.
Total glory to him. And
yes.
So I want to just begin, what led you into this ministry?
Okay, so when I was 20 years old, a long time ago, I got to go on a trip with Reaching Souls. It was a new ministry at the time. And the idea of nationals reaching nationals, that's what we support, was intriguing to me. You know, I'd gone to church my whole life, and you always hear the missionaries come in and talk about their mission stories. And this was kind of a new thing. And so I got to go in 1990, and we went to Embu, Kenya. And my first time out of the country, my first time on a mission trip. And I just, wow. I was a culture shock for sure, but to see the resilience in people that had so little, to see their resilience, to see their commitment to Christ, to see in their desperation how much they trusted God on a daily basis. For everything, for every physical need, for every emotional need, for every spiritual need, how completely immersed in God that they were. And it just blew me away. It was super convicting. It was, I just walked away changed. I did. I walked away changed from that experience. I don't know how much I did there.
Yeah.
I do know that God worked in me, and I came back a different person. Now, I did go on, and it was a long time before I was going to be able to go back, but it captured my heart, especially the women. And I developed a heart for women's ministry while I was there. I went on to have kids, 4 amazing, beautiful children. My husband and I, a few years after he was actually on this trip with me, a few years later, we went to work for Reaching Souls International. And we became officially a part of the ministry itself. I couldn't do a lot of traveling then. When I was able to travel again, I got to be a part of the women's conferences that we would hold. And so let me kind of explain what we do. When I say nationals, we support nationals, reaching nationals. We provide financial support for those who have been called to evangelize in their countries. So we give them financial support, and so often these are places where education is not available, primary education, much less any type of biblical education. So we provide biblical training, biblical education and doctrine and theology and so forth for them. And so we would go in and hold these leadership development institutes where we would provide that type of training. And then we just provide a support system. We have national leadership in all of these countries that oversee our missionaries there and provide a support system, a base for them, and just a place for them to know that they belong, that they have more than just the financial support. They have the spiritual support. They are one with the other brothers and sisters that are working with them to win their countries, their nations for Christ. So that's what I get to do.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds perfectly structured.
It's amazing.
All your bases covered. That's amazing. Very organized. So let's get a little personal. I had read that you had gone through trauma of losing your son. I had people on here that have lost their child, and I can't think of anything so grievous. How did that help you in your healing of going through something so tragic?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when you start your life and you have children, obviously you have expectations of what that's going to look like, right? And we had a beautiful life. And my children got to travel with us, and they were involved in the ministry with us. And so I never saw this coming. And, you know, my oldest son, when he got into high school, he started to struggle some with depression, and we just didn't realize how bad it had gotten. He was a believer. He trusted in Christ. He went through some really hard things. And in November of 2016, he took his own life. And I tell you, it absolutely just shook all of our foundation. It shook it. And I tell people, it was like I felt like somebody just took my world and violently began shaking it, so that all the pieces just started to fall apart. And I remember those first days of just experience in a darkness that I'd never experienced before. Mm-hmm. And without going through all of the detail, I'm sure that you've heard stories about people struggling to get out of bed and struggling to move forward and to move on with life. All of those things were true. I questioned God. I questioned my faith. I questioned everything that we did with my children, everything. I threw it all at God. And I said, right, I don't get this. I don't understand. Where's my boy? You know, why is my boy gone? And, but man, he's faithful. He is good. He is good. And in the darkest parts, in the darkest moments, he's there. And sometimes we don't even see it until we're looking back. Right.
Yeah. Right.
But he was, I'm here. Right. And that was, you know, that was almost 7 years ago now. And it's hard to believe that almost 7 years has passed. But that is another event in my life, just like going to Africa for that very first time. This is another event in my life that completely changed me. And this scripture means so much to me because I came to a place in my life where I really felt like I was never going to be able to be used by God again in any place of ministry. Who was I to minister to anyone else? I'd failed, you know, I had this sort of, I felt like Naomi when she said, I'm a cursed woman. You don't want to be with me. You don't want to be anywhere near me. But through all of that, it is amazing how God used our ministry and the women that I work with in, that are from these very hard, very dark places, ministered life to me. And I remember my very first trip back to Africa after I lost my son. And these women that I was there to teach, to pray for, to encourage, and I broke. And they taught me, they encouraged me, they prayed over me, and they helped me to understand what it looked like to truly mourn and be okay. And man, God just used them to speak healing and restoration into my life. When I think about this fact that Jesus is our treasure and that he takes every single part of our story, no matter where we came from, the decisions we made in the past, the things that we did to other people, the things that were done to us, the things that affected our lives, where we are in our life, our past or present, it doesn't matter. God will use it, and he will use it to bring beauty, all of those cracks, all of those scars. To him, he is building a masterpiece, and that's the truth. He is. And beauty from ashes, beauty out of that pain, it's true. And now that's my message. That is my message to everyone I see, that God wants to use you in his kingdom work. He wants to use your story to shine the light in the darkness to others. And now, having gone through what I did, I see things I didn't see before. I see people I didn't see before. I have an empathy that I didn't have before. I understand suffering a little better. I understand and I see suffering in others that I didn't see before. So all of that has been something that God has used to help others, to help others in ministry, and to help others see Christ through all of that.
Beautiful. So sweet. Thank you for being vulnerable on here and sharing that. You know, there's that purpose in the pain, that our suffering isn't for nothing. And it's hard to see it when we're going through it sometimes, but then we can look back in hindsight and be able to see what you're saying, the beauty from the ashes. And he's so faithful, like you were saying. So this outreach, I love how you shared about the women pouring into you. I mean, that just fills my heart up, and how that helped you along your healing journey. So why do you feel like women are so crucial for the mission to reach for the lost?
Well, primarily because we all are. We are all a part of the body, and we all have a part to play in the body of Christ, a role, I should say. And God's clear about that in Scripture. If women aren't doing what they've been called to do, we're missing pieces of the body of Christ, crucial pieces. But I also believe that just the way we were made, women are uniquely designed. They're uniquely designed by God to do things that men can't do or weren't designed to do. And men as well, they were designed in that way, right? And we work together. We work together to accomplish things for His glory, for His purpose. And I think that nurturing part of women is very important in ministry. I think we do see things just naturally, maybe that others don't. But I think that women in general are among those who are vulnerable in society. And when you take, even here in the United States, we know that women have gone through things because they're women. They've had to deal with things that maybe men haven't had to deal with. And if you take that and then you go into these countries where you have compromised economies, corrupt systems, those women are even more vulnerable. And I think because of that, because of their experiences, again, all of those things are used to equip them for the ministry that God has for them. And I see all over the world these women reaching out to those that others miss, the ones on the fringe, the ones on the outside, the most vulnerable of society. They're going right to those individuals. And then there are just some, there is some ministry that just men can't do. And especially in the area of sex trafficking and women who have been victims of abuse or violence, they don't trust men. They won't go to men. Those are certainly areas where women are crucial mm-hmm. in ministry. And if I can, I'd like to share a story about a situation. When I was in Kenya just last year, we had a women's conference there, and I have 20 of the most beautiful women missionaries there that I get to work with. And one of our missionaries, Lillian, we were having this conference, and we were, after the conference, we went out and we were evangelizing in the streets. We were on the east coast of Kenya, very poor. Kenya's been through a drought for the past 2 years, and so people are even in a more desperate setting. But there were some bars situated throughout this little area, and we were kind of told by the men, you may want to avoid those bars. Don't go in there, and a lot of drunk people and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. But Lillian went straight for the bar. And so I was partnered with her. And
yeah, tell so her we, what not to do, she'll do it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly yeah. right. And of course, that in itself, you know, when you see these women walking into this bar, that in itself draws attention, right? But she went straight for these very young girls that were being trafficked in this particular bar. And she asked permission to speak to them. The bar owner, who happened to be a woman herself, gave her permission to do so, although was a little resistant. And in the very beginning, of course, you're hearing the jeers and you're hearing the mocking and the people trying to interrupt and laugh and, you know, all of those things, anything to try and hinder the message that she has to share from going forward. But she stayed the course and quietly spoke to these young women even among all the distractions. And before you knew it, within minutes, these girls were just enthralled by what she was saying. And you could see that she was speaking directly to their heart and resonating with them. And we left that bar that day with two of them giving their lives to Jesus Christ and walking away and walking into the arms of a church that would then take them in and care for them. That's what women are doing. That's what they're doing all across the world. In the places that you and I can't see, the dark corners, right? Where people are hurting and they're in pain. These women are going in and they are a light. They are literally the light. It's just an amazing thing to watch. And I can't believe that I get to see it.
It's beautiful to see women and even ourselves when we get out of our comfort zone, or, you know, this is really stretching us out. It's just a beautiful thing to see how mighty God is and how his power is greater than the evilness that's in this world. So, you firsthand get to see this spiritual battle, and we all know the victory is his. So, love that. All right. So anything else you want to share about women serving in the mission field, and really what impact have you seen in the mission field since launching the Women National Missionaries?
So that's kind of another thing, you know, for many years, we were primarily supporting pastors, which in these other countries were it was men. And so we really only began supporting women. We've had them coming to conferences for years. So they've been part of that the leadership institutes and things like that, going out with us and doing the evangelism. But as far as supporting women, we just started that last March. It's just been a little over a year. That was a fulfillment of a vision that I had a long time ago, which again, it's just, man, God is so good. And he is so awesome that he allows us. He didn't have to, but he allows us to be a part of that. And so from the time we started, you know, just with our women, just with those, we have 102 now. We now have a missionary, a woman missionary in Vietnam. We have 102 women on the field as part of those 2,000 that we support in five different countries. So Cuba, Mexico, Kenya, Zambia, and now Vietnam. And our goal is to keep increasing that number of women missionaries that are being supported in the other countries that we're in. Since that time, since March of last year, just with those women missionaries, we've seen over 100,000 people come to Christ through those women alone. That's not including the other missionaries, just through those women alone. Hundreds of church plants. Discipleship is happening. We now have two women leaders in Kenya. We've now started our women leadership program in these other countries. And so those women are overseeing other women and working with them. And it's just amazing. It's amazing. And I think that this is going to have such an impact generationally too. We know that these women are also mothers and their grandmothers. And so, I get video all the time from our women missionaries and taking their children right alongside them as they're going out and they're doing this evangelism. So they're discipling their children along the way and teaching their children how to share Christ with the world. So it's a pretty cool thing to see.
Oh yeah. There's nothing like that. Seeing the example, like
he's right
there in front of you. You can't put a price on that. That's impactful for your kids to see that. And I want to know, because I've recently had a heart for Japan, because I recently found out there's like less than 1% that are Christians there. And I heard it's like a hard barrier to get them to just wrap their minds around that there is one God, you know, because they tend to worship several gods, and there's all kinds of things, their culture and the family traditions and how you're exiled if you start believing in Jesus. And it's very harsh. Have you guys gone out there to Japan specifically yet?
We have not. We have not. It's not
Okay.
an area we've ventured into. So I don't know
Yeah.
a lot. I will tell you this, though. We have a man that has traveled with us for years to do these leadership development institutes because we'll take teams of people in to do the teaching and help with the evangelism training. And he spent 30 years as a missionary in Japan, and he saw one person come to Christ. So you're right. It is very, it's a very, it's very hard ground. There. So who knows? Maybe God will open the doors for us to go there at some point.
I'd love to see that. I know I even bought a book. I wonder if he wrote a book. I wonder if it's him that I've been reading because he goes into the whole description as to why it's so hard for the Japanese culture to convert into Christianity, and he was there for a lot of years evangelizing. So I don't know, this might be the same guy, but so cool. Okay, so what are your hopes for the women as they take on these responsibilities of reaching the world for Christ?
My hope for them, so many things,
Yes.
but primarily, I know that, one of the things I talk about with them all the time is in that chapter right before this one, Paul is talking to the church and he's gone through some ridicule and some rumors, and he's kind of labeled. There's been some argument in the church, and he's coming before the church to basically say, do I really need the affirmation of men? Do I need that? My affirmation is you. You are my affirmation. It's not anything written on paper with ink, but Christ has written his name on your heart, right? You are my affirmation. And it's eternal. That's an eternal affirmation. And when I speak with these women and I see how they're treated in their culture and by society as a whole, my hope and my prayer for them is that they would find their true affirmation in Christ, and that they would find just an overwhelming fulfillment in his presence and in doing the work that he's laid before them, and that that would continue to overflow as they're filled with that, as they're filled with him, that that would overflow into everyone they come in contact with. And as for those of us that are supporting them and a part of the support system, that we would just continue to humbly learn from them and from the courage that they have and their desire to just walk through all of the obstacles that are placed in front of them and do what Jesus has called them to do.
Beautiful. I love to end us with a takeaway, something that our listener can ponder on or take action in. How can they get involved? Maybe they're hearing this episode and they're like, sign me up. I'd love to get involved. Any
Yeah,
thoughts here?
absolutely. Let me first start by saying that wherever you are and whatever you're doing, wherever you are in life, God has a purpose for you. And if you are here on this earth, then you're here to serve Him. And I would encourage you to seek Him. The scripture says that we're supposed to seek wisdom like it's a treasure. And I encourage you to seek Him, ask Him, find out where you should be ministering, find out who your people are. Those that Jesus wants you to, be sharing your light with. But secondly, if you just want some encouragement, go check out our website. It's reachingsouls.org. We have stories from our national missionaries there that I think will encourage you. I think that they'll put a smile on your face for the day and encourage you if you're going through some difficult things. I think it will. So go there and check out those stories. And then if you would like some information from us, there's a place there that you can fill out. Click on and put your name in there, and we can send you whatever information it is that you request from us. We would love for you to come alongside us and to get involved, whether that's going with us at some point or just praying for us or whatever. We would love that. So yeah, we'd love for you to contact us through reachingsouls.org.
Love it, Michelle. Thank you so much for coming on here and sharing this amazing outreach and your heart with us. It was beautiful in every way.
Well, thank you, Jane. I appreciate so much the opportunity. I'll tell this story anytime I get that opportunity. So thank you
Yes,
very,
for
very
sure.
much for what you're doing.
It's
Thank
all to
you.
glorify him.
Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I trust that God has encouraged you through this story. Did you know this podcast is on YouTube? Hop on there and subscribe, and you can see a live recording of each episode. And for more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com. That's jamieelizabeth.com. And let's connect beyond this podcast by going to my Instagram handle, Jamie Elizabeth, She Speaks Life, or Facebook. Until next time, my friend, I hope God reveals himself through your own life story.